before.
All right, let's open in a word of prayer and we'll begin our study this evening. Father, we are thankful for this time we have to come together to study, look at your word, to look at what wise men from history have, Lord, written and taught, and Father, that we might gain understanding from it. Lord, we do come tonight. We lift up those that we've mentioned. Lord, Craig's mom, we pray that you'll continue to be with her as she continues to heal. Lord, we pray for Miss Moore as they're going to be doing the scan and biopsy and then determining the treatment. Lord, we pray that you would, Father, be with that, be with the surgeons, be with those who are looking at that and evaluating it. Father, we pray that you would give wisdom and discernment to them as to how to proceed. We do pray tonight for James and Nita. Pray that for their backs. Pray that you would relieve the pain that's going on there, Lord. Heal them and restore them to health. Father, we pray for Pastor Carey tonight as he has issues with his leg. Pray that, Lord, you will be with him. Father, pray that you would heal him. Pray that as he goes for these scans, that, Father, they would be able to identify what's going on so that they would be able to treat it. And so, Lord, we pray for him tonight. Lord, again, we pray that you would be with us and help us to focus our minds and, Lord, to listen, to understand, Lord, that our hearts might be changed, that we might be transformed, Lord, into the image of Christ. We might be sanctified and edified and encouraged and built up tonight. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so tonight we're going to continue on in our study we've been doing for the last few weeks with watchfulness over our hearts and our souls as we seek to see temptation and sin coming and to either flee or to resist or to not fall victim to it. And so we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, and what we've seen thus far is we've seen the nature of watchfulness, definition of it, what it is. We've seen the necessity of why we need to do it. Last time we looked at how are we to do this and cultivating that in our lives. And so tonight we're going to look at when. We're going to look at the seasons for watchfulness. I guess the most succinct answer we could probably give would be always. We can just pray and go home, but that's not what we're going to do. There are, in the chapter, in the study, there's particular times when we are vulnerable to temptation and when we need to take careful, be very careful to keep a watch on our souls. So knowing that when temptation is going to come to us, we're watching for it, we see it. That way we can stand against it. John Owen said it this way, and this is the first thing in our watching, to consider well the seasons wherein temptation usually makes its approaches to the soul and be armed against them. And so when then should we be particularly careful in our watching? And the first one we're going to look at tonight is seasons of prosperity. Seasons of prosperity. There's something about when we are doing well from a material standpoint, when we have what we need and what we want, that we can kind of slack off in taking care to watch for our souls. And the author wrote about it this way. He said, external prosperity tends to take the edge off of our spiritual senses. I thought that was a good way to put it. There's something that happens there. We can kind of tend to check out of the spiritual side of things because everything's going so well. That can happen sometimes. And there are many warnings that we see about this in scripture, in Proverbs. The author writes, "Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." So we see how this, how prosperity can be, spiritually, it can be a dangerous thing. John Bunyan, in his book, The Holy War, we've mentioned that before, but it's an allegory, it's symbolic of a believer's heart and what they go through in battling sin and just their walk with the Lord. And he describes Diabolus, who represents the devil, as a commander of an army that's going to invade this city of Mansoul, which represents a man's soul. And Diabolus, he briefs his men, he brings them in, those who are under his command, and he briefs them on a strategy that he's going to use to take over this city of Mansoul. And after he was done explaining it, this is what his men kind of say back to him. They say, "This is the very masterpiece of hell, to choke man's soul with the fullness of this world and to satisfy our heart with the good things thereof." It's a dangerous thing to get all wrapped up in the things of this world. But we also know material prosperity and doing well is not evil in and of itself. We read in places like Ecclesiastes, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Give thanks to the Lord. Rejoice in the blessings that he has given to us." We should do that. And so the author kind of ends this section by quoting this statement: "The real issue is not what you possess, but rather what possesses you. What is it that captivates your mind and your heart? What is it that takes control over those things?" There's a specific danger that comes with prosperity that we want to be aware of and to be watchful of when it happens. So during that season, we must be watchful. Second season we want to look at tonight is that of seasons of solitude. Seasons of solitude. Times when we're alone. Again, just like prosperity, time alone can be a great thing. It can be a time of reading, of reflection, of prayer to the Lord, of searching your heart, of confession. All of those things can take place in solitude so that you can concentrate and be alone with the Lord. However, there's also great danger in solitude as well, especially true with, you know, the technology that we have today with smartphones and access to the internet, all the things that are just fraught with opportunities for temptation to us. And even if you think about things like the media, even if it's not consuming things that are inherently sinful, it can be a great waste of time in consuming anything, really. It's a distraction or diversion. Of what we should be doing. You know, how much time can be guilty of it. Do we spend just kind of needlessly just scrolling through things, looking at things on our phone? So time alone can be good, but it can also be dangerous. The author talks about how really behavior in solitude shows us who we truly are in a lot of ways. And you might have heard that old saying before: character is who you are when no one is watching. And Owen said this: "As to the performance of duties, so the enjoyment of outward privileges, fruitless professors often walk hand in hand with true believers, but now come to their secret retirements, and what a difference is there. There the saints hold communion with God, hypocrites for the most part with the world and their own lusts." Again, solitude not inherently evil or bad or sinful, but we must Recognize it as a time when we need to be watchful over our minds and our hearts and our actions. Number three, seasons of spiritual slumber. Spiritual slumber. We all have these times, right, in our lives of sanctification where it kind of ebbs and flows. There are times we sinfully become neglectful in our spiritual disciplines. We kind of become complacent in our lives and even apart from Christ. We would never say that, but that's how we live. Other things kind of take priority. And the only way to get out of a situation such as that is to watch and to pray. Christ said to the church in Sardis, "Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die." We must watch when we start to fall into those times of slumber and again renew ourselves to the Lord. 4, seasons of self-confidence. When we feel like our spiritual lives are going well, right? We feel close to the Lord. We're faithful in our disciplines of prayer and scripture reading and meditation. Everything's going well. It's a time to be watchful and to be alert for temptation and for sin. We read 1 Corinthians, "Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." So this idea of confidence in self can quickly get us in trouble. We see the example of Peter in the New Testament. You might remember that Jesus told his disciples, he said, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." And then we read, "But Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Verse 35, Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all of the disciples said the same. We all know how that turned out. What Jesus had said is exactly what happened. So Peter learned the hard way there about the dangers of temptation and sin in the midst of self-confidence. And one comment that the author of our study made here is, do you realize that given the right circumstances, sufficient temptation and enough pressure, you are capable of committing the worst sins imaginable? Right? All of us are capable of doing these things. It's there. It's only by the grace of God that we do not. So therefore, we must watch, especially when we are built up with self-confidence. 5, seasons of doubt and discouragement. Doubt and discouragement. We see this with the psalmist in Psalm 13. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" So the temptation in times of doubt and discouragement is really disbelief, a lack of trust in the Lord, not trusting that he's faithful, not trusting that he will do what he has said he will do. So we need to watch during that time. And it's always interesting that the psalmist doesn't stop here with the questions that we see in verse 1. It always comes something like we see in verse 5. "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." It's the key to the cure of getting out of this doubt and discouragement. Focusing on the steadfast love and in the salvation of the Lord. Seasons of doubt and discouragement require us to watch. Also, seasons of interruption of routine. Interruption of routine. I think this is one we can all probably relate to. We're going in our walk with the Lord. We're growing. We're being faithful. We're spending time with Him daily. We're growing in our relationship. We're encouraged in our battles against remaining sin in us. And then something happens, right, that throws it off, that throws our flow that we're kind of in. It could be something positive, like getting a new job or going on vacation. Anything that's good like that is just different from what we normally do. Or it could be negative. It could be something like sickness or some other form of grief in our lives that, again, throws us off of the norm. And, again, Bunyan illustrates this in Pilgrim's Progress. When Christian is, he's climbing up the hill difficulty, and it represents, you know, a believer that's fighting their way through life and growing in sanctification in the Lord and in difficult times, and he comes to a place where he can rest. And when he does, he falls asleep, and he drops this scroll that he's been carrying the whole time. And the scroll represents his assurance of salvation. In the second part of the book, Christian's wife, Christiana, also stops at this arbor, and she loses her bottle of spirits. And so in the second part of the book, there's a character named Mr. Greatheart, and he explains what is going on here and why this happens. And this is what he says. The cause is sleep or forgetfulness. Some sleep when they should keep awake, and some forget when they should remember. And this is the very cause why often at resting places, some pilgrims and some things come off losers. Pilgrims should watch, and they should remember what they've already received under their greatest enjoyment. But for want of doing so, oftentimes their rejoicing ends in tears, in their sunshine, in a cloud. So, you know, of course, vacation, rest, you know, breaks in routine. None of those, again, are bad in and of themselves. We just need to be aware that there are times when we need to be especially watchful against temptation to sin. Finally, tonight, we'll look at seasons of intense temptation. We see an example of something like this in the fourth chapter of Matthew and Luke in the New Testament, when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. And there are times when it seems like the enemy has just honed in on our weaknesses and is desperately trying to get us to fall and to sin. And so when this kind of thing happens, Owen wrote about 4 points, that things we can do in this season of intense temptation. When it comes, what do we do? He said, first, we pray. We pray. And he draws this spiritual application from a physical event that happened in the New Testament. So when Jesus came walking on the water to the disciples, Peter stepped out of the boat to go to Jesus, and this is what we read. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. And Owen writes that just like Peter cried out to Jesus to physically save him when he was sinking, so we should cry out to him to save us when we are spiritually sinking. When we're going down in temptation and we're about to drown, we should cry out to him in prayer. Secondly, we see that we should run to Jesus. This ties into the first, but it goes a little bit further. When we run to Jesus, we are praying to him. That's part of it. We seek to commune with him, to be with him, to spend time with him, to draw strength from him. And we see this in Hebrews. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence Draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we pray, we run to Jesus. Third, we expect the Lord to deliver us. We expect Him to do so. We see things like 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So therefore, there should be no doubt for us as to whether the Lord will deliver us when we pray and when we run to Him. We see these promises that He will. And it's interesting to see the way that the Lord might choose to deliver us. It doesn't always look exactly like we think it should, or like we would expect it to. So a couple of different things we see here. It could be through an affliction or a trial. We see this in Scripture where it's almost like when we go through those things, it kind of jars us back into placing our mind and our heart on the Lord. Giving sufficient grace to endure, just a special a grace there by His Spirit to be able to resist that temptation. And third, we see where the Lord specifically rebukes the enemy and causes him to flee. All these different ways that the Lord can do this when we pray, run to Him, and expect Him to deliver us. Again, another promise, 1 John 4 says that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And number four, repair the breach and get back on the road to righteousness. So whatever happened that this temptation got to us, however it got into our minds, we want to look at it and evaluate that. We want to close up the crack or the hole in the figurative wall kind of around our hearts and our minds and get back to our lives of sanctification. So during these specific times we've looked at tonight, we want to be very careful of keeping a watch, being awake, being aware of the temptation and the sin that is there and the enemy who is working against us. So let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for tonight. We pray that you would take this information, Lord. May you apply it to our hearts, Lord, specifically as we think about our lives. Lord, may you bring it to mind throughout the rest of this week when we are in some of these situations. Father, that we might flee temptation, we might resist it, and we might obey. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.